I don't know how you went this week, but I was just... Were you blown away by what happened in Thailand? Wasn't that amazing? I mean, that has just been a truly, truly amazing story, an amazing event. But in many ways, it parallels exactly what Chanel's just shared with us. It parallels, it's a wonderful picture of our story and what God has done in our lives. I mean, these kids and their coach were trapped in this cave, sitting in darkness, totally powerless, totally without hope, could not do a thing. Their only prospect was death. And wasn't that our story? Not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual reality? Isn't that the description that God gives of the human condition? Trapped in darkness, no hope, no way out. And as the story unfolded, we see... Helps to turn it on. Can you turn the slide over? We see at great expense, at an amazing cost, an international team who found the kids in the first place and then worked out a way of getting the kids and their coach, I should say, out of there. And I was just blown away by this rescue effort. And the enormous cost, indeed, it cost one Navy SEAL his life. And again, isn't that a picture of what God has done for us? At great cost, he came and found us. He sent his son, his only son, into the dark cave to rescue us. We could not do it ourselves. But he did. He did. And set us free. And gave us new life. It's a wonderful picture. It's a parallel of the story we have just heard. And it's an echo of what we've been seeing in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. Listen to how Paul expresses it. And if you have your Bibles, you might like to turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 5. Paul says it so well. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. The Bible uses different language to help us grasp all that God has promised, all that he has done for us in Christ. It for example, speaks of the day of the Lord. It speaks of the peace of God. And here it's in Thessalonians, it speaks of salvation. And in all this language, in all that God is saying, he wants us to understand something. This world of sin and death, this dark cave, is not all there is. That's not the total story. God himself will put all things right. He will remove sin, sickness, and death. He will judge evil. He will establish a new global order of justice and freedom, peace and abundance, holiness and equality. We will be with him forever. Yes, for us who have believed in Jesus, God has not appointed us to suffer wrath. but to receive salvation. That's the hope that we have as the people of God. And indeed, this reality is here now. For us who believe in Jesus, that is our reality. It has started. And yes, will be fulfilled when Jesus comes again. All that God has promised has a now, not yet quality to it. We are saved. We will be saved. It's a little bit like walking into your house at dinner time. You can smell the food cooking. Now, that's based on the premise that someone's there cooking. So if that's not your experience, just imagine with me for a second. You walk into the house, you open the door, and the smell hits you. You can almost taste it. You know it's coming. There's a hope here. Dinner is happening. You know it's going to be good, but you won't fully experience it until you sit down at the table and begin to eat. Now, not yet. The confidence is, yes, it's happening. But not yet. Not fully. Not fully. For the Thessalonians, this waiting for dinner wasn't going very well. It's a little bit like many households. You know how it works out? Just before dinner, the kids get feral? Or was that our only experience? I need some encouragement here. Yeah, you know how it goes just before dinner? It gets a bit... Well, it was a little bit like that in Thessalonica, this ancient city where the church was that the Apostle Paul is writing to. See, things weren't going very well. They were getting impatient. I want it now. And for some, they were thinking that the believers who had already died, well, these poor guys, they're going to miss out completely. And then still others that were saying, oh, no, dinner has already been eaten. It's already happened. Well, listen again to God's word, to how Paul resolves this. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Yes, here we are reminded of the negative and positive side of the day of the Lord. Evil will be judged. There will be destruction. The judge of all the earth will do right. But notice also the emphasis here, the certainty of this day when Jesus comes again. Verse 4. Here somewhere, but you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. And as you read throughout the Bible, the coming of Jesus again, the fulfillment of all God's promises, which reaches their climax in the coming of Jesus again, it's not a debate. The Bible doesn't present it as a debate. It's a done deal. It's not a case of, will it happen? No. It's a case of when it will happen. And indeed, that's the main thrust here of this passage. He's saying, we don't need to write to you about times and dates. We've already talked about that sort of stuff. That's in essence what Paul is saying. Come on, guys. We've talked about this a lot of times. The coming of Jesus was an integral part of the sharing of the good news concerning Jesus. It will come like a thief. Some of you will remember how we had a thief, attempted thief, at our house in the middle of the night a few months ago. A month ago, had a break-in here. Now, the possibility of break-ins is a reality, particularly in this community. But can I say, the day the thief came and tried every door on our house and opened our screen doors, I was shocked. I was surprised. I didn't think it would happen to us. But it did happen. And I wasn't expecting it at all. It was a total surprise to me. It will come like a thief. It will come suddenly. It will come like labor pains on a pregnant woman. Now, please, please, please hear Scripture. Scripture is not written. God's Word, the Bible, is not written to us in the sense of it's written in another historical context. It's written in another time period. It's written for us that we might hear God's word, but we need to appreciate the time context. I mean, these days when women get pregnant, they say, well, they give you a date, an expected date, birth date. I mean, things weren't quite that precise back then. And there is that great sense of suddenness. You're not in control of this. It's an overwhelming theme that we need to hear here. Jesus is coming again, but you're not in control of it. You do not know when it's going to happen. God is working out his purposes. From my perspective, I say, come Jesus right now. Oh man, just sort this mess out. Come now. You know why Jesus hasn't come right now? Because his heart is that all would know him. And there are people in this world who still do not know Jesus. And he is making it possible through his Spirit that people will hear him around the world today. That's the only reason why Jesus has not come back. We're not in control. So what do we do with this? How do we live in light of God's promise? Verse 5. You as people who have believed in Jesus, you brothers and sisters, you are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. I loved how Chanel put it there, and I'm probably misquoting it, but I once spent my life pursuing this world, and now I spend my life pursuing Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Something like that. Is that how you put it? It's close enough. But the idea of, and it's sort of captured here in this, the picture here. Once upon a time, he's saying, you were under the influence of. Now you are under the influence of this. It's kind of interesting that on the day of Pentecost, those who have believed in Jesus, those who were in that first historical outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the people of God, were accused of being drunks. People were observing them and saying, on the basis of your behavior, you are under the influence of alcohol. And what did they say? Sorry, no, we're under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And that's the challenge here. This is the call. We need to live in light of eternity. We need to live our lives under the influence of the fact that Jesus is Lord. And Jesus is the one who gives life. Jesus is the one who has died and risen again and who is coming again. To live under his influence. Paul uses here the imagery of an ancient soldier's armor as an encouragement that in the first instance, we would guard our hearts. He speaks of putting on a breastplate of faith and love. How do we live in light of eternity, in light of the coming of Jesus? We guard our hearts. Our hearts are the core of our being. We guard the core of our being, that which is most important to us. We guard our hearts with faith and love. Faith and love. When the Bible speaks of faith, it's not speaking so much of faith as a principle, but it's speaking of faith in Jesus. It's faith in what God has done, in his faithfulness to us. And it's faith in Jesus. I could not stand if it was not for Jesus. We need to understand that. I am a guilty sinner, condemned, deserving the wrath of God. Speaking of the coming of Jesus, I deserve all that God has for those who do not know him, who have been wicked, as do every one of us in this room. But God in his love sent his son to die on the cross that we might stand and declare there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Faith in Christ. We stand not because we're good, but because Jesus died on the cross and we believe in him. We stand not because we're doing religious practice, not because you're here this morning, but because God did something and we believe in him and we're clinging to the cross. I kind of always, you know, my picture mind goes berserk at this point because I think of a wild, windy storm, wind blowing, rain hailing, and I'm getting pushed off the cliff. But here it is. What's the thing that keeps me there? I'm hanging on to the cross. That's the only solid ground. It's faith in Christ and it's love. God has poured out his love on us that we might love one another. The gift we have to give to the world is love. See, our world does not know that God loves them. And so often we as followers of Jesus reinforce that. We reinforce their thinking by the way we behave towards other people. We are called to be the world's greatest lovers. We're Christians. We can be the world's greatest lovers. And the world desperately needs you and me that we might love them. Faith and love. And then to guard our minds by putting on a helmet, the hope of salvation. You see, as a person thinks, so they are. You think before you behave. Why do you behave like you do? Because you think in certain ways. Our minds are critical. They're crucial. We need to engage our minds and we need to guard our minds with salvation, with all that God has promised and revealed to us in his word. If you want to get anywhere in life, build your life on the word of God, the hope of salvation. Yes, guard our minds. But see, our minds lie to us all the time, don't they? Our minds tell us, you know, and using Chanel's illustration, your nose is no good, your hair's no good, your this is no good, your that's no good, you're this, 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 you're this. But the hope of salvation says, I'm in Christ. I'm a new person in Christ. And I have an eternal hope. Let me wrap this up. No, we don't know when Jesus is coming. It could be before the Hmong stop, finish their song. How about that? It could be. Shall we just wait and see? No, we don't know. But let me ask you, may I ask you this? If it is today, Will the coming of Jesus be for you a day of destruction or a day of salvation? That's the challenge of the concerning the coming of Jesus. And to all of you, I would say this. The promise of God's word is this. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Amen. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for the hope that you have given us in Christ. That Jesus, you came into our world to rescue us. Not only for this moment in time, but for all eternity. That we might enter into all your fullness. We might enjoy all that you have promised. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters. Lord, touch us afresh with what you've done in our lives. Remind us afresh that you are the God who rescues. And Lord, I just pray for anyone here this morning who doesn't know you. I just ask that you, by your Spirit, would continue to work in their lives, that you would continue just to gently speak into their heart and mind, that you would open their eyes that they might see Jesus is able to set people free, to rescue, to save. Ah, Lord, we need you, whoever we are. And so we thank you for your presence. Thank you for your goodness to us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.